this agenda, which looks like is no end in near, right? I think Iran's next and this one's next. My cousin, who's a Muslim American, born and raised in Dallas, did two tours in Iraq, lost half of his squad in the Battle of Fallujah. Is he a terrorist? Is he less American than any of you that are watching this show? There is a narrative and agenda to pin the Christian faith and the Muslim faith against each other to justify these policies. And that...
Hey, welcome back. We had a special treat. Beck Lover is in the studio with me. He's a filmmaker, content creator, and he is the recently directed the Muslim Invasion of America documentary. It's a documentary film that examines the growing influence of Islamic communities in the United States through a mix of investigative footage and social commentary. Welcome to the show, Beck Lover. How are you?
Jimmy, thank you for having me on. Huge fan of everything you're doing, the discussions you're having. At a very critical point, not only in American history, I would say in world history, especially over the last few days, all the files being released. I mean, it's everyone, you know, we've been talking about it for years, but I think it's pretty obvious people can start putting the dots together. There's a lot of things, you know, that are going wrong right now in the U.S. And when you say the U.S., it affects the whole world. So, yeah, the film, we put it together, me and Sonny Faz, he's one of my co-producers of the film. You know, we were hearing about all these things and Dearborn, Michigan, and Plano, Texas, and Sharia laws coming to take over America. And when we got there, that's not what we found. The documentary is free. Anybody can watch it on YouTube, on the Sonny Faz channel. I met with the mayor of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. I went to the Epic City Center Mosque, which is in Plano, Texas, right outside of Dallas. And, you know, you go watch the film for yourself, folks. There was no script. It was literally what we saw there. We recorded. It was completely just on the spot.
And so those are two cities that are known for Muslims going to, right? So Dearborn, Michigan. In fact, they even elected a Muslim mayor, correct?
Correct.
All right. So let me show you the trailer for the movie, and then we'll get into it a little more.
The Islamification of Texas is here. In Dallas, 48 mosques have been built in the last 2 years. We are standing against this radical ideology that is looking to change everything we love about America.
God's grace, and in God we trust.
We're on our way to Dearborn to meet up with the mayor.
Are Muslims compatible with Western society?
See, that's where people get crazy.
Signal if you're in danger from the Muslims. Let us know, we'll get you out of here.
Where does the mayor of Dearborn Heights live? I'm gonna come up and shoot up his house.
Let's go see what these evil Muslims are up to.
How dare you bring in the name of Jesus Christ? Would you like to be treated the way you are treating us?
I don't preach about the Buddhist. I don't preach about the Hindu. I preach about you and your wicked, idiotic religion.
I have never felt more comfortable here. This is my home.
Is not compatible with the West.
So I guess you're trying to highlight the hysteria around Muslims in America.
Correct.
And it's been ramped up. And what your movie shows is that, what would you say your movie shows?
It shows the truth on the ground. I think really, Jimmy, it's not that this, what people like to say, Islamophobic behavior is being ramped up. It hasn't stopped since September 11th. I'm someone that was born in the U.S. I was actually born in Texas. I grew up in New York my entire life. I was underneath the World Trade Center the day it was hit. I was on the E train, last stop, World Trade Center. I watched those buildings crumble right in front of my eyes. I watched my fellow Americans die right in front of my eyes. So I was only 19 years old when that happened. I used to go to Pace University, and that's how I went to school. I would start my day underneath those, you know, those towers. So, you know, just seeing everything that's happened over the last 25 years. You know, my family came to America to escape communism. My family comes from Albania. Communist Albania was by far one of the worst communist regimes ever. It was isolated. Nobody was allowed in and nobody was allowed out. No one was allowed in and out. My grandfather and his father fought against the communists. They didn't have a lot of support from the West. They ran out of, you know, manpower, bullets, whatever you want to call it. And my grandfather escaped over the hills of Albania, eventually made it to Italy, and started like every other immigrant in America, right in the heart of the Bronx, New York. So as someone that comes from that lineage, my dad's side's from Kosovo, which had a war in 1998. I lost 28 people in that war. They were massacred by the Orthodox Christian Serbs. Never once in my life, Jimmy, have I ever blamed Christianity for what happened to my family. Ever. So they paint this picture in the news, in the media. You've never seen, I'm not Arab. I'm considered white by whatever category you want to classify me. I'm from Europe. The minority of Muslims are Arab. They're 19%. And a lot of time, I believe this is happening because the media needs to push these narratives to justify the policies our country has had over the last 24 years, 25 years, ever since September 11th, invading countries on false pretenses like Iraq, 1 million people dead. So how do we justify this agenda, which looks like is no end in near, right? I think Iran's next and this one's next. My cousin, who's a Muslim American, born and raised in Dallas, did 2 tours in Iraq, lost half of his squad in the Battle of Fallujah. Is he a terrorist? Is he less American than any of you that are watching this show? There is a narrative and agenda to pin the Christian faith and the Muslim faith against each other to justify these policies. And that's why I felt it was important to expose people like Jake Lang, who most people would say their opinion of him, again, my opinion, he has a sister that serves in the foreign military, from what I'm understanding. I don't know how accurate that was. I believe she was in the IDF. I'm not sure. 100%. I've seen pictures of him at the wall, kissing the wall. Okay, that's fine. That's his faith. He's claiming to be a Christian, even though there's nothing Christian-like about his behavior.
Who are you talking about?
He's the one you see in the film holding. He was just in Minnesota. They almost split his legs open like a chicken wing. He was going there to do another hate march. He did one in Dearborn. He did one in Plano. And then he went to Minnesota. As far as the Somalis are concerned, I'm not denying there might be some fraud there, but I just find the timing of all these things to be very coincidental. We all know that every ethnic group has people that do things that are wrong. I as a Muslim have condemned terrorism in every shape or form. And I've been having to condemn it my entire life, even though I was a victim of 9/11, even though my family served in the military for this country. So if every Muslim's a terrorist, because that's what they want you to believe, then every Christian should have to defend themselves about the 700,000 children, open cases against the Vatican. The Anglican bishop just stepped down in the UK 6 months ago, 100 boys, concealing what happened to 100 boys. But that's not how I think. I don't blame the religion for the actions of a few. I don't blame Christianity for what priests do. No more than I should be blamed as a Muslim. There are radicals in every single faith, religion, movements, even sports teams, people kill each other in America over Philly Eagles and the New York Giants. So we have extremists in every group on earth. I consider myself a moderate, someone in the middle, someone that believes this country is amazing. This country gave my family opportunities that no one else would have ever gave us. My family died in the Kosovo War to have the rights that we take for granted as Americans. I lost 28 people in one day because they didn't have a First Amendment. They didn't have a Second Amendment. They had no one to save them. And this nation, and America helped us there. That was the one time I'm saying thank you. Interest aligned, because if they didn't get involved during that time, probably would have lost the rest of my family. So as an American, as the son of an immigrant, as someone that was born and raised in this country, to see where, like, the way I felt like we were going for a while and where we've actually, like, the environment we're in, it's why it's important that people like you do what you do. It's important why every single citizen right now needs to speak out. The levels of corruption that we're seeing, especially in these files, we cannot let this one go, Jimmy. So the house is on fire.
I agree.
Okay? And millions of lives are at stake. And we can say there's radicals in Islam, there's radicals in Christianity, there's radicals in Buddhism, burning the Rohingya alive. Are there not radicals also in the Jewish faith? I think it's safe to say it at this point in time. I think the Epstein files prove it. His ties to Ehud, the prime minister, like intelligence. Where the hell are our three-letter agencies? As a kid watching movies, believing in the FBI, believing in the CIA, where the hell are they? Where are they? They had these for years, Jimmy.
You mean the files?
For years. And both sides of the aisle are implicated. America is in trouble. The world is in trouble. This is why lobbying should be illegal. This is why there needs to be an amendment for people like you, Jimmy, for people like me. The U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, the founding forefathers could have never seen how far technology would have went. There needs to be an amendment immediately. No censorship on social media, because it is the new public square. No one's protesting in the streets like they used to. The internet has the power to topple governments, to change public opinion. There should be no algorithms. They should be illegal. It should be the general masses, what they push up by liking or not liking. I don't care if they're private corporations. There are life is not black and white as much as they want it to be. It's not Muslim, Christian. It's not gay and straight. It's very gray at times. And democracy and free speech as we know it is in danger because of these platforms, the games they've played. But we've clearly seen since the shutdown of 2019, there needs to be an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. That's bare minimum we should be requiring for that. Lobbying illegal, term limits from this, from the Epstein files. It's pretty clear. It needs to be done now. America's on fire. Can we save it? Because we're heading towards disaster. And I come from the spiritual side, Jimmy. I believe God never destroys a nation until they can see. And the American people can see what's been going on now. It's all in those emails. It's all in those files. We either do what's morally right or we will perish like every other empire that ever has. We're not immune to collapse. You ever wonder what it's like to feel like a Roman, Jimmy, right before the Roman Empire collapsed? I think we're living in those times, Jimmy.
Yeah, I've been to concur with that. I've been saying that here. We're at the late stage empire in the United States.
It's terrifying.
So are you saying that so for the Muslims, it's in someone's interest, meaning maybe the military industrial complex?
Absolutely.
It's in their interest to keep Christians and Muslims fighting each other, because when we fight each other, what happens?
Chaos, and their order comes in. Their rules come in. One side creates problem, reaction, solution. They both do it. We are a severely diabetic nation. And every 4 years, we have the choice between Coke or Pepsi.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, we're in trouble. So we really need to be vigilant. The American people really need to, at this point, unify these differences between left and right. Okay, which are more ideological than anything, like, you know, preferences in the bedroom. These things are not going to change the world right now. Right now, the entire house is on fire. And we're all going to burn together unless we can come in the middle right now and take care of these very important problems that we have as a nation.
So it appears to me that it's in the interest of the Greater Israel Project to get Christians and Muslims to fight each other. And
it's crazy. You know why it's crazy? Both sides believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Both believe Jesus is going to return. So if Christians and Muslims, regardless of what position, I always say we both have them on the sports team. Christians have them as the coach, you know, God, Son of God. Muslims have them as the starting quarterback. Both believe he comes towards the end of time when an antichrist will appear and take over the earth. I say to the Christians and to the Muslims, if we both believe he's coming back and we believe he's the king, even Muslims will say Christ is king when he comes to earth, king of the earth. He's going to rule the earth. Why don't we let him tell us when he comes, you know what, I was God, I wasn't God. Until then, let's focus on the people pushing immorality, coming after your freedom, coming after your right to have public debate about health, about war, about anything. This is a greater threat to the Christian and the Muslim of this nation. And Muslims are less than 2% of the population. There is no Muslim invasion. The news and the media for the last 30, 40, 50 years has pushed this narrative that Muslims believe that Christians are their enemies, their heads should be chopped off. They quote completely out of context, sometimes not even a full verse, Jimmy, a half a verse. And most of those verses are defensive in nature, nothing to do with Christians, literally talking about the pagan Arabs that were attacking the Prophet Muhammad during his lifetime, had nothing to do with Christians. On the contrary, Christians are known as the people of the book in Islam. They have a respected class. It means they received revelation before the Muslims got the Quran. They're to be respected. The Prophet Muhammad himself, in the infancy of Islam, after 11 years of persecution, was sent to live. He sent his followers, because they were being persecuted, his first, you know, family, friends, sent to the ancient kingdom of Abyssinia, which is modern-day Ethiopia, to live in a Christian kingdom. And those Christians could have handed them right back to their enemies, and they would have been slaughtered, and there would have been no Islam. And no one talks about this history. For example, we've seen movies in Hollywood, every angle of World War II. Yet the nation I come from is the only nation in all of Europe that saved every last one of its Jews. My mom's family was a part of the royal family of Albania. Shout out Prince if he's watching. His grandfather was a righteous king, and he told the Jews, come here. It was the only place in all of Europe that they were safe. Albanians have never fought each other over religion. We're Christian. We're Muslim. We have Jews now because they settled after World War II. Not a single Jew died, Jimmy. My grandmother's two brothers were hung by the SS. My great uncles were hung off trees in Albania, 16 and 18 years old. Yet not a single Jew perished in a predominantly Muslim country. I think the reason they never made a movie about the Holocaust in Albania is because it goes against the narrative. Muslims are supposed to hate Jews. Now, again, there was also Christian families that did it. But again, if Muslims are programmed to hate Jews, in my opinion, when you dig into the history, throughout history, they gave refuge when many times they were being persecuted by the Christians. I mean, the Inquisition was Muslim, you know, Christians, World War II. So this narrative is a lie. Muslims, again, Muslims are not here to conquer America. They're here to be a part of this system. And to be honest with you, Jimmy, the first Muslims to this country never wanted to come here. They were born on slave ships. 30 to 40%, as high as 50% estimated of African Americans that were brought here. You remember the series Roots?
Yeah.
Don't you be praying to no Allah. So the first Muslims, when they say, is Islam compatible with the West, in the words of the deceased Charlie Kirk, of whom I wept for, even though I didn't agree. Remember, he hated Muslims and bashed them. The day he died, I cried for him. Because in my opinion, the First Amendment was attacked. Rather, I didn't agree with a lot of his stuff. But the First Amendment was attacked. It could have been you, Jimmy. It could have been me. For that, I wept. I wept for our nation. This is a dangerous time. You're risking your life doing what you're doing, Jimmy. So am I. But why are we doing this? Because we know that these enemies, these global elite, I wouldn't call them Jewish, Muslim, or Christian. I believe they're Satanists. I don't think you can believe in God and do the things these people have done. And what clearly it looks like they've been doing with children.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a more devious agenda that these people use religion, use anything they can to divide the masses and create chaos so they can usher in their order. I believe we're headed to a crypto technocracy unless we all stand together. A lot of you are sad about Bitcoin. I hope it gets destroyed and never rises again. If people understood where cryptocurrency leads, they would never use it, Jimmy.
Okay.
They're building their future.
Before we get into the cryptocurrency, so when people see they got rid of Gaddafi. So when they got rid of Gaddafi, they did it under the false pretense of we're trying to help the people, which was garbage because nobody helped the people in Libya more than Gaddafi. Everybody had a house. Everybody had education. Everybody had a job that you got money when you had a baby. He turned the desert into farmland. And so he thought he was safe because he was the firewall between immigrants coming from Africa to Europe. And turns out they wanted to get rid of it. He thought that's what kept him safe, that they wanted to get rid of him because they wanted to flood Western Europe with refugees, right?
And I'm against open borders. I've said this on every right. show I got. And absolutely against open borders.
And so do you think there was some kind of, I do. I think that part of the plan why they did that was to try to A, dilute the culture, B, get cheap labor, and C, if people are fighting each other, like if you get them to, so now they take their eye off the real problem and they can't ever come together to oppose the international WEF billionaire oligarchy that actually runs everything and wants cheap labor and all that stuff. And do you see that as a problem, right? So when they try to force cultures together, right? That's not a good thing.
Not a great. That's first of all Nigeria. Let's use Nigeria as an example. I'm friends with Godfrey. You've heard of him.
Yeah,
he's Nigerian. I know Godfrey. And a lot of other, you know, I've had a lot of Nigerian friends. And just to touch on Gaddafi real quick, I think Gaddafi, many experts have believed that the reason he was taken out because he was talking about creating a gold standard and avoiding the IMF and the International Monetary
Correct.
Fund.
That's why.
So he wanted to create like an Arab gold dinar and try to unite them, kind of like what the BRICS system is trying to do.
Yeah, he was going to invent a currency that would rival the U.S. dollar.
Petrol dollar, yeah.
And it would also rival the euro, and they can't have that.
So, you know, so in the example of Nigeria, they keep pushing this narrative that it's Christian versus Muslim there. The problems in Nigeria go back, ask any historian that's being honest, it goes back to colonialism under Britain. They developed the North, the South very differently. One, they developed way better. They took 700 different tribes and ethnicities and bunched them into one country. These people, yeah, are Christians dying in Nigeria? Yes, they are. Are Muslims dying in Nigeria?
Yes.
Yes, they are. Boko Haram, that we all heard the name a million times. They killed just as many Muslims. They blew up just as many mosques. Extremism is extremism. More Muslims have died from extremists and terrorists than anybody else. Nobody talks about that, though. If anyone hates a terrorist, it's a Muslim. More have died from terrorism than anybody else. But in the case of Nigeria, again, they push these narratives. They're massacring Christians. They're this and they're that. It's not because of their religion. Ask any Nigerian that's being honest, and they'll tell you. Very poor people, because their country's being robbed and molested by Western powers for centuries, one of the most wealthiest nations in the world, and their people are barely getting by. They're fighting over farmland, Jimmy, not over Jesus and Muhammad.
And so you made this movie to show people that the boogeyman that the powers that be have invented about Muslims in America is not true.
I went there. I said, is there really? First of all, I was scared as a Muslim. Are there really this many of my fellow Americans that are like this guy? Because maybe I should get, you know, I don't know where I'm going to go because this is home. I went there. He had like 20, 30 followers.
Where do you?
So when we ran into him in Plano.
Who's he?
Jake Lang.
Okay.
Okay. Ran into him in Plano. He had a couple people, all toothless. They looked like crackheads that he was paying $20 just to hold the sign. That's what I saw. That was the impression I got. The few people that were there that didn't really know what's going on, you're going to see in the documentary, they actually stop and speak to us, and all of them change their opinion. The battle that we're fighting, Jim, is ignorance. It's always been and it always will be. Whether it's war, whether it's politics, whether it's business, whether it's what we should be doing in America, ignorance is the enemy. And that's why people like you. Comedians should be given the presidential, in my opinion, what they've done since the shutdowns of 2019, comedians should be given like the Presidential Medal of Freedom?
Mm-hmm. Freedom, yeah.
No, I'm serious. If it wasn't for people like you and Joe Rogan and pushing this envelope and keeping free speech alive, God knows where we would be right now.
So let me just show a couple clips from the movie so people can get a taste of what the movie's like. So here's a little bit more.
I'm the mayor of Dearborn Heights. We are home of the greatest community in the world. I just got elected. I was a city council chairman for 4 years.
So now this is the Muslim mayor.
He's the mayor of Dearborn Heights. So Dearborn used to be just one city, and then it got too big, so they like broke it up a little bit, mm-hmm. but they border. So Dearborn Heights, Sonny Faz is my co-star and producer in the film. And basically, it's 40%, it's majority Arab, 40% white, and the rest is mixed. That's the demographics of that area. And we go through this town, and it's like every other town, Jimmy. Bars and strip clubs. And I mean, I'm sitting here going, where's the Sharia law? You have Muslim women covered serving bacon at Dunkin' Donuts and Tim Hortons. I'm like, where's this Sharia takeover they're talking about?
Okay, so let's go. So this is, you're talking with the mayor.
Dearborn Heights. Yeah, nice guy.
Just last week, our Dearborn Heights fire chief got a phone call from a man out in California, said, where does the mayor of Dearborn Heights live? I'm going to come up and shoot up his house. And it's not because I'm the mayor of Dearborn Heights. It's because I am an Arab American Muslim mayor. But what they don't know is that we don't have a Christmas tree for our tree lighting ceremony that didn't come in this year. It's still stuck at the port in New York. We needed to figure out either cancel our tree lighting ceremony for the first time ever, or we spend money that we didn't budget for.
This 40-foot tree is going up in front of City Hall in Dearborn Heights, and it will be in this spot for years to come.
We made a few phone calls. A local Muslim business owner donated $10,000. To have a real live tree planted here in the city of Dearborn Heights.
I thought it was the right thing to do, given the circumstances. I mean, this is our way of giving back.
It's a tradition that was almost canceled.
No other community will you see do that. And it's a man that does not celebrate Christmas, but he understands the demographics of this community and wants to make sure that people are appreciative and get to enjoy a joyful holiday.
This is the first time I've ever known about this. I'm happy.
As an Arab American Muslim mayor, we still coexist and we still celebrate the traditions of Christmas. This is a unified community. We're going to stay unified and we're going to stay working and loving and showing respect to all faiths and religions.
So that's the story of they couldn't get a Christmas tree like they normally have in Dearborn Heights because it was stuck on transit. And so a Muslim businessman donated $10,000 so they could have a permanent Christmas tree. That'll be there forever. Now, that's what's happening?
That's what happened. And I always happened. Like, again, none of this is planned. I did have like just two meetings. I was going to interview the mayors.
Mm-hmm.
But all of this, literally, Jimmy, all happened on its own.
Oh,
as
really?
A matter of fact, me and Sonny, he got sick first. The first 3 days that we were in Michigan, we were deadly. We didn't leave our rooms. I must have took 45 showers, how much I was sweating. And then eventually we had like 2 days left and all of this happened within 2 days.
Oh, wow.
But nativity scenes everywhere. I interviewed non-Muslims around the community. Like, be honest, like, are they coming to chop your heads off? Like, it's just absurd. And then what we saw in Dallas, same thing. He just had a lot of ragtag people with him. You could tell these people either were very ignorant or they were, in my opinion, paid to just hold the sign and walk with this guy. And it wasn't a lot of people, maybe 30, 40, 50 at most. So it made me feel good as an American.
So you're saying this controversy over Muslims in Dearborn and in Texas is
microscope
is manufactured?
Absolutely, in my opinion, 100%.
And that the people, when you go and talk to the people and say Dearborn, Michigan, Dearborn Heights, they don't have that kind of animosity.
No. I challenge any, and let me tell you something, they were so nice of it. Like, please go there, like, visit the place. I would never go in winter ever again. My heart goes out to, I mean, New York's no better right now, but I could never, like, that winter was brutal there.
Okay, here's one more clip.
This is with the pastor.
So this is with the pastor?
Very nice, man. Yeah.
The call to prayer being played out loud.
So the ordinance says that
that's the mayor of Dearborn.
You essentially can do your calls.
So this is the mayor of the Dearborn.
The mayor of Dearborn, and we're in a room with the pastor. There's a pastor from a local church, and we kind of just had these conversations. Like, what's really going on? What the hell's going on here? You know?
Okay. And this is about them broadcasting the time for prayer. So they'll have... On a mosque, they'll have speakers.
And they have a very big mosque in Dearborn. I mean, they're building an even bigger one. Like, it's huge.
Okay. Okay.
The call to prayer being played out loud.
So the ordinance says that between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m., you essentially can do your calls to prayer. So as long as it doesn't exceed a certain decibel threshold, that's between those hours, is permitted.
Your freedom of religion does not allow you to force me to listen to your prayers in my yard or home.
It's no different than a factory that exceeds a certain decibel. My name is Nathan Hayes, and my church is on the west side of Dearborn. I've been a pastor there since 2014, I believe it was.
And you lived in the Dearborn area for how long?
Or 17 years. Yeah. When I first moved here, I was nervous. 9/11 and the Muslims. And so when I moved here, I was prepared for like pushback and a fight. And then I realized 6 months into it that, man, it's nothing like everybody was screaming about.
What happens if, God forbid, a Christian comes in?
They're more than welcome, Matt.
Do you feel like that?
I'm white and Christian. I love this place.
How do you feel about the Islamic invasion of Michigan?
No, I think there is one.
Let's be honest. We have idiots on both sides. You have idiots who do things in the name of Christianity. You have idiots who do things in the name of Islam. Right? You just do. That has nothing to do with religion. That has to do with just pure stupidity from a human perspective.
Like you said, you have idiots that do stuff in the name of a sports team.
Let's show one more clip. Let's show this.
And I quote Thomas Jefferson. He says this in Congress: neither pagan nor Muslim nor Jew should be excluded from the civil rights of this country because of their religion. End quote.
God is the greatest. And in God we trust.
How dare you bring in the name of Jesus Christ? Was it not Jesus who taught all of us to love our neighbors? To even love your enemies? I say loudly and clearly, if you refuse to follow the teachings of the prophet Jesus, we will show you those teachings in action.
I don't preach about the Buddhist. I don't preach about the Hindu. I preach about you and your wicked, idiotic religion.
This is New Hampshire.
Your cancerous religion.
We cannot exist together.
Where do you watch your news from?
Oh, Fox News. Fox News.
Why did you leave Palestine if it's so wonderful?
I love Fox News. I love Fox News.
They say Michigan. This is Texas.
I love Fox News.
So.
She loved it.
So again, I think it's a great, it's not that long of a documentary. It's 40 minutes long, yeah. Right?
Emotional, man. I think about how crazy it was. I mean, some of these people had guns on them. You can see it in the video.
Yeah. But, you're saying this is AstroTurf. This is all kind of invented.
I feel a lot better. I'm sleeping a lot better at night. If you're Muslim in America, don't worry. These people are not even a fraction.
Okay, good. All right. Well, Beck, I appreciate you coming in. Beck Lover, his new movie is called The Muslim Invasion of America.
On YouTube.
It's on YouTube. You can see it for free. And it'll dispel a lot of the crazy propaganda.
Dearborn and in Texas, yeah. Especially yeah. Texas.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, you know, I don't know what to... I'm glad that you made this movie, and I'm glad you're here to talk to me, because I don't know what to make of it. I'm like, oh, but are the Muslims taking over in Texas? It looks like they are. They built 80 new mosques. You know, it's like, it can be scary when you hear it and you don't have information, right?
And so I agree, and it's made to sensationalize and distract, and we got bigger problems right now.
Right.
The Muslims are going to need another, based on the way they're talking, we need 1,000 years to conquer America.
Right.
You know, like, we need to worry about what's going on in D.C. right now, what's going on with Epstein, what's going on with these wars, what's going on with our veterans, why we have trillions of dollars for destruction and nothing for the reconstruction of our nation.
That's right. I'm with you. We're 100% with you, Beck.
I appreciate you for giving us a voice, Jim.
Yeah, this is. I think we're on the same page. It's. I urge everybody to watch this because it's you're being fed a bill of goods, and it's to keep people fighting each other so they can keep doing more wars. They want to do another war in Iran right now.
They're dying to.
And they're doing, and so they like to run around, guys like Lindsey Graham, and they like to say, you know, the people in Iran shout death to America all day long. That's what they say, right?
Well, maybe America shouldn't have overthrown the last democratically elected right. government, which was released by the CIA about 2-3 years ago. They declassified that they had a lot to do with that moderate government.
Yes.
You know, and my only fear with the whole Iranian thing, I'm not, you know, I don't support that regime, the way they do things.
Right.
Oppression, forcing people. These are actually against the tenets of Islam. You're not allowed to force. The Quran says clearly in chapter 2256, there is no compulsion in religion. So any government that forces people and does these types of things are not following Islam. So if they're massacring civilians and killing people, like, these are forbidden in the faith. And do I want the people of Iran to have their freedom? Absolutely. I also don't want, I want America to have its freedom. I want the Bill of Rights protected. I want freedom of speech protected. I don't want people bribing our politicians, spending $4.2 billion in 2024 in lobbying money. I don't care if it's an Arab country. I don't care if it's my family's homeland of Albania. If we're going to make America first, it's either now or ever, you know, now or never.
Yeah. And, you know, hey, I'm not crazy about their government in Iran. I'm not crazy about the government in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, the UK, for that matter, Germany. I'm not crazy about it, but I'm not crazy about the government in the United States right now.
Why do you criticize it? Because you care about your country, right, and you love it. It doesn't make you not, you're not a patriot. If I can criticize my own country, I should be able to criticize any nation on this earth. I shouldn't be labeled anything.
Right.
I criticize Albania all the time. I'm like, I think you guys are going a wrong turn here. I would stay from globalism. I would stay away. They're going to just swallow you up. I speak out against it too, because that's our rights as Americans.
But I don't need another country to come in and tell me to decapitate my government and install another leader. And that's what the United States has done all over the Middle, all over the world.
Yeah, all over the
world.
And
but anyway, Ben, we got to move on. Beck, we got to move on. We have a lot more.
Thank you so much.
I could talk to you all day. Everybody check out the movie. It's called The Muslim Invasion of America. It's available on YouTube. Thanks for coming in.